Messi, right outside of the box. Lino with a move. Shot! Goal! Lionel Messi with an incredible outside of the box shot!
For 1 month, the game takes over the planet. Nations collide. Heroes emerge. Legends are made. Every goal echoes around the globe. From the biggest stars to the next generation of icons, the chase for soccer's ultimate prize is underway. Welcome to Extra Time with Mike Rizzo.
Leo with a shot and a goal!
Brought to you by Yuengling, Tri-Rail, and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Marching on, we go. Our beloved United States men's national team are on their way to the round of 16. But sadly, we had some carnage during the match. Welcome on in, folks, to Extra Time. And welcome on back to another day of the greatest competition in the world. I'm Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, as usual, here at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. The United States winners against Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0 last night. Bosnia can terrorize me no more. But on their way out, they gave Mike Rizzo one final gut punch. And that gut punch was Flo Balogun picking up a red card. Now, it's been the topic of conversation. It's been, in my opinion, one of the more horrific red cards we'll ever see be issued to a player. It was a South American officiating crew. Anytime, in my opinion, you get a South American officiating crew, you're never going to get anything consistent. That's just my personal bias. I'm watching CONMEBOL and the way CONMEBOL plays. Damian, we were texting last night during the game. First off, welcome on in, partner. Again, the greatest tournament in the history of all tournaments. Another day in the World Cup. We'll touch on the game that happened earlier with Spain blowing the doors off of Austria. In an hour, we're going to have Portugal and Croatia kicking off. But I wanted to kick it off, no pun intended, with the United States and the egregious call of Flo Balogun. Damian, I've seen worse in this tournament not even get cards, let alone a red card. You think that the United States, being a host country, would get the benefit of the doubt as well. Turns out, we're not going to have Flo Balogun in the game against Belgium coming up in the round of 16.
Yeah, Mike, tough decision. And it's a decision I don't agree with. From the minute I saw the play, I mean, you saw that was a natural position. It was a natural play on the ball. He wasn't even looking at the player. There was no intent. I understand if you freeze the frame, you watch it in slow motion, it kind of looks like he's breaking his ankle. But context matters, and I think it mattered in this situation. If you watch that play full speed, anyone in the world knows that's not a red, never a red. And like you said, consistency, it hasn't been there.
Intent. And I hate to sound like a broken record from everybody you've heard talk about this topic, folks, but it is the intent of the tackle. And you have to watch these things full speed, not at slow motion. Like slow motion, obviously, the guy's ankle buckles over. But what do you want him to do on that? What do you want Balogun to do on that challenge? It was an unfortunate challenge, all right? But at the same time, it didn't warrant a red. And now we're sitting here on July the 2nd, 2 days before America's 250th anniversary. And on July 5th, we're going to be without Flo Balogun, who has been our best player this World Cup. And I mentioned Pulisic, McKinney, Weah, Reyna, Pepe, Chris Richards, Tyler Adams. We have guys. And those names that I rattle off, they were the guys who are supposed to be the golden generation. Keep in mind, Flo Balogun was a late acquisition to this United States team before Copa America 2 years ago. Balogun, in my opinion, has changed the trajectory of United States football into being a pretty solid team to a real threat. And the games you've won in this tournament, the three games you've won, by the way, Maurizio Pochettino becoming the most winningest manager at a single World Cup in the history of our federation. Pay that man tomorrow. But what we've seen from Balogun is the United States turn into a juggernaut. And I worry, with no Balogun on the pitch, we're going to go back to how we looked in Qatar, a good team, a respectable team, but a team that's going to fold when they play top-tier competition. Damien, do you think the golden generation of Pulisic, McKinney, Weah, Reyna, Pepe, Richards, and Adams can get it done without Flo Balogun, who will, and listen, I know you agree with me, who has been the best player, bar none, for the United States?
Yeah, Balogun has been great. But I think this team is built more than just Balogun. You know, the team is deep. I know they feel like there's been an injustice done to them right now. There's probably a chip on their shoulder, and there's a big factor in this as well, and that's Poch. I think Poch showed in those final, 30, 25 minutes that they had in that game, very tense. He showed that he knows what to do in the situation. USA, as a matter of fact, ended up finding a second goal in that situation against all odds. So I'm going to put my faith in Poch. I'm going to put my faith in the team. I'm going to put my faith in the moment that they're in right now, the momentum they gathered. And also looking ahead, I mean, Belgium, they haven't, not only in this tournament, I feel like they haven't impressed anybody since Euro, since the last tournament. So this is also a team that's coming in with a lot of pressure. I don't know. It's really a tough blow for Balogun not to play in this game. But I think USA has enough to get it done. And the moment they're in, I think the momentum's also going to play a lot. That home field advantage at Seattle, it's really going to be the 12th man in there.
Now, coming up later on in the program, we are going to be talking to Ramses Sandoval. So we do have Ramses Sandoval, who's been calling games on Telemundo, joining the program coming up at 6:20. We'll get his take on the red card and all of these things. But Ramses, certainly a true, I think, you know, pioneer when it comes to calling games. One of the better, I think, and listen, Damien, I don't speak Spanish, but I know Ramses is going to have a heck of an opinion on it. And once again, we're going to be talking to him coming up at 6:20. But getting back on track with Balogun, it's like he's the player that takes the United States to the next level. And I can't, I know I've said that about five different times. I know I've said that, but I do think when it comes to the United States and how they play, and how and what makes them different from past World Cups, it's hard not to say Flo Balogun is the biggest, I think, you know, person that has his fingerprints all over that. Now, I will say Mauricio Pochettino probably would like to have something to say in the equation as well. Pochettino, I think, has completely changed the culture of the team. He has changed the trajectory of the team, and he has turned us into a force. I do think that the United States beat Belgium without Balogun. 60-40. 60-40. 60 in favor of the United States, 40 not in favor of the United States. And when it comes to Belgium, outside of the final 20 minutes of their fixture against Senegal yesterday, Damien, nothing they have done has, I think, made me go, huh, this is a team that is a serious threat in the World Cup.
No, not at all.
The United States, Dame, the United States, we've said, hey, this is a team who is a serious threat. I've not said that with Belgium yet.
No, and they're in a very interesting situation being Belgium. I mean, if you remember against Senegal, they pulled Doku and De Bruyne, and that's when they found their goals. That's when they scored the three goals. So, question: I don't know if they're going to bench De Bruyne or Doku, but I'm sure they're asking themselves that question. I don't think they will, but funny that that's how that played out. And when we're talking about the USA, yes, Balogun is a pivotal part of this team, obviously one of the best players. He's been the goal scorer up to now, but I think the responsibility is also going to be on Malik Tillman. I think he's going to play more of an offensive role. He's probably going to play playing right behind the forwards. I think he's going to be the key in this game. And Pulisic is probably going to also be in a more offensive role. And I think we can probably see Gio Reyna in this game as well, which I'm also excited about.
Yeah, and I'd rather have Gino Reyna than Pepe, personally. Would you agree on that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd Pepe's rather more have of a, Gino Reyna. He's more of a striker.
Right, Pepe
but
is.
If there is a coach who I think can manipulate a lineup without a true advanced forward like Balogun, I do think that it's Mauricio Pochettino. So, folks, once again, this is Extra Time, Mike Rizzo and Damien Perez. We're actually going to have two guests coming up today on the program. We're going to have Sasha Kljestan as well on top of Ramses Sandoval. So Sasha Kljestan, folks, has been all over the Fox coverage. He's friend of show, works for Apple TV, but also been on the desk for Fox. So Sasha and Ramses going to be giving their inputs on what's been going on with Team USA. what they think on the Flo Balogun red card. Was it deserved? And what the trajectory of the team is going to be. Let's take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll welcome in Ramses. We'll get him in on the program. And once again, Sasha Kleshin more towards 6:35. So Ramses Sandoval coming up next. Sasha Kleshin later on in the show. This is ESPN 106.3.
Welcome back to Extra Time with Mike Rizzo. Brought to you by Yingling, Tri-Rail, and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Welcome on back, folks, to Extra Time, your one-stop shop World Cup show. We are loaded on the guest side today. We have Ramses Sandoval and Sasha Kleshin both joining us on the program today. Ramses, an award-winning play-by-play announcer, bilingual play-by-play announcer, Apple TV, Telemundo. Looking forward to getting him on in the program. We're going to be talking to him in about 5 minutes, and then Sasha Kleshin at 6:45. But we're all reacting to the big news of Flo Balogun yesterday picking up that red card. Not going to be available for the United States in their decisive knockout round of 16 game. The round of 16 game, if the United States were to beat Belgium, this would be the furthest that they would ever go in a World Cup since 2002. So if you remember, the United States defeated El Tri, Mexico, back in the early 2000s at the Seoul, Korea game, World Cup games. They went to the quarterfinal. They had an unlucky call against Germany, and it ultimately costed them a chance at the semifinal. But can the United States, get back to the quarterfinal without Flo Balogun? And a man who certainly, you know, is going to have an opinion on it and looking forward to getting his take on it is Ramses Sandoval, who has joined us now on Extra Time, the award-winning play-by-play announcer, bilingual, folks, Apple TV, Telemundo. We see him everywhere. Ramses, thank you for joining, as I like to call it, Inter Miami and Lionel Messi country, which has turned into United States men's national team country. But thanks for coming on in, partner. How are you?
I'm good. It's a pleasure to be with you guys. Love that intro. I love that energy. If you've seen any of my calls, you're matching my energy, man. So I'm loving that.
Ramses, I'm the same way too. I'm the voice of Inter Miami as well. And you know, I take offense to the people who say the English broadcast doesn't have a lot of juice. I tell everybody to go look at my highlights with Lionel Messi, Ramses. But partner, listen, I got to get right into it because I was ready to fight somebody last night with what the hell happened on the field with my lads in the United States men's national team. I mean, I've seen worse not get carded in this tournament, let alone a red card. I hate to make the kind of, hey, it's a South American crew. You never know what you're going to get. Certainly seemed like that to me. Now, the official didn't call it a red on the field. The video assistant takes a look at it, says it is a red. I'm ready to fight someone. Ramses, was that a red card last night for Flo Balogun in the United States game?
It wasn't for me, and I said it all over our shows as well and our spaces over on Telemundo. And I think the reason why this play picked up so much steam as well, let's face it, there is a play between Argentina and Algeria that is very similar that involves the great Leo Messi. I'm not plugging him in for no rhyme or reason here. Let's just focus on it. And you probably know yourself if you open social channels. I mean, it was a split screen on every single timeline I was looking at. And it's nothing against Argentina or that matchup or that decision. It's just very comparable. For me, it wasn't a red card. They go to VAR. They take their time in order to sanction the red card. And for me, at the end of the day, the biggest issue is going through the motions of that game. I'm like, oh man, 70 minutes in, the ref's probably going to add 5 to 10 minutes here. I think it was 10 minutes. It was a long time. So then, you know, in another topic, Tillman gets the United States out of problems with that beauty of a free kick. If not, it would have been tough. I started thinking, man, the U.S. is going to have to, you know, play a low block and try to just, you know, they're going to try to grind out this 1-0. Even though Bosnia hadn't really shown anything creatively, offensively, you go a man down, 20 minutes to go. You got a guy like Dzeko playing his last World Cup. Those guys are going to go hard at you. So leaving that to the side, which at the end of the day wins it, Tillman's goal wins it for the U.S. It just gives oxygen to the United States after they had picked up that red card. And then, of course, I think Christian has an unbelievable last 20 minutes of the game as well. It wasn't a red for me. And the biggest bummer for me, for lack of a better word, is – you're going to be without your main number one striker who's on fire,
yep.
three goals in this World Cup against Belgium. No disrespect to Ricardo Pepi. I think he's a fantastic player, but especially right now, if you ask me after three games, and I said it yesterday in our spaces as well, I go back maybe to prime Josie, a very good Dempsey. I can't think of another striker that was in such a good moment to put them away. The goal yesterday is a golazo. It's a gol de delantero. It's a guy who's not going to – he's not going to let you off with one opportunity in the box. And traditionally, not only for the U.S., CONCACAF teams, it's tough to find those strikers. Look at what Mexico's doing with Quiñones. That's another stone-cold striker.
Yes.
Who, if you miss him – you are going to be in problems if you try to, and which you have to with your depth, you're going to have to replace those guys.
Ramsey Sandoval, Emmy award-winning and bilingual play-by-play announcer and studio host for the MLS and Apple TV and Telemundo, is our guest here on Extra Time. Now, Ramsey's a lot of things there. What I want to unpack with you first, you disagreed with the Balogun call. It's the right thing, but you mentioned Malik Tillman. Ramsey's, how did Tillman get that ball over the wall? Can you explain how did, and no, and it's funny because I've listened to everybody. I've listened to Alexi Lalas, Landon Donovan, Clint Dempsey. Yeah. Nobody can believe that he got that ball over that wall. Did you think Tillman had that in his bag before the match, let alone when it actually happened?
Not at all. I actually thought, you know, Christian was going to take that. I mean, you know that Tillman has the ability to do that, or to take free kicks rather. But as I'm watching this game, I'm sort of saying, and I had the opportunity to sit next to Jaime Herrera, who's our expert referee, which is crazy, man. It's just, it's fascinating to the referees. They're calling everything beforehand. That's why they do what they do. And I'll do a parenthesis here. I was with him for that Paraguay call, called it before they went to VAR with the whole goalie and all that stuff, just to put stuff in context for you. And he was telling me, first thing he noticed is like, you know, that wall's not, I don't believe that wall was correctly spaced out. And he said, the reference that I'm going to give you is tip of the box, half moon line to the free kick spot, which that blew my mind because I'm like, absolutely. If I take that as my first reference, that's not nine steps, right? So that looked tough to me. And then you saw Bosnia sort of set up a double wall. There was a small spacing in the middle. I thought Tillman was going to go first pole, which we've seen. Messi's a specialist as this. You know, you go down on the ground. They had the infamous cocodrilo, which is what we the alligator in the bottom, which, you know, in Spanish, that's an infamous word. You got a guy laying down on the floor. You're sort of thinking, where's he going to go? The technique to strike that ball is absolutely beautiful. And again, for me, initially, when I see it, it's like, oh, man, he took that a la prime Cristiano Ronaldo, sort of that very quick dip. But in fact, it's sort of the inside part, slaps it in, inside part of his right boot. Perfect, just wind-resistant, sort of dips down. And, of course, the biggest thing here for people, yeah, I had a lot of people go at the Bosnia and Herzegovina goalkeeper. He was spaced correctly to me. He never thought that ball was going to get over his wall, so he did not have to essentially move more to his right, if you will, if you understand what I'm saying.
And Ramsey
couldn't get there.
Yeah,
he couldn't get there.
I completely understand. He did not expect that ball to be there. And a couple of my buddies are like, oh, God, you know, this Bosnia keeper has paper hands. I said, brother, he was playing for his left side, a.k.a. Yeah. Tillman's right side. I don't think anybody in the building expected him to go over that wall. But Ramsey's, another thing that stuck out to me that you said was Christian Pulisic. A bit of a rough half. And listen, I'm his biggest supporter. I thought Pulisic had a rough first half. But he really turned it on when the United States went down to 10 men. And I actually told my partner early on in the show, the best we saw Pulisic was when we went to 10. He was defending. He was a great outlet on the outside and on the flanks to get the ball to, get it out of danger. Partner, the golden generation of Pulisic, McKinney, Weah, Reyna, Adams, Pepe. Does this lot have enough juice to beat Belgium? Because keep in mind, Ramses, when we talk about the United States golden generation 3-4 years ago, Balogun wasn't even in the equation. Balogun was an addition to Copa de America and for this World Cup. Yeah. We didn't have Balogun in Qatar. Do you think this team and the guys that I mentioned, that is, quote, the golden generation, do they have enough to get a result against Belgium without Flo Balogun, who completely has changed the trajectory of the United States.
Listen, I was on the call for those massive matchups on the other side on Univision Nations League, big time games in the Las Vegas tournament in Denver, and we were talking Haji Wright, we were talking Brandon Vasquez. You're absolutely right. We weren't talking Balogun. Pepe was already in the picture, and he stayed on because he's done a terrific job. And even those teams that won those Nations League and sort of had Mexico's number for, what, over 2 years? Just yes. Knocking them out. You know, the victory, of course, the men in the mirror in Cincinnati for Christian Pulisic in the qualifiers. It wrote to the previous World Cups as well. I do because I'll tell you one thing: I am not whatsoever scared in any way, to lack of a better word, of Belgium after what they showed against Senegal. I thought Senegal deserved so much more than that one. We'll get into it another day. We can have a great chat. That call at the end to give it essentially that penalty kick opportunity for Belgium to win it. Of course, Senegal. Their ability just not to concentrate in the final minutes killed me. 80 minutes in, I was like, wow, it's going to be Senegal going on to the next round. Yeah, they could be better, but this Belgium side, I absolutely think the United States has. I actually think the U.S. may impose their gameplay. And Pochettino, you mentioned Pulisic and how he played toward the end of that game.
Yep.
I said this yesterday as well. I don't know if you agree with me. Did you ever see the U.S. with sort of these South American antics, experience of a South, they call it a colmillo. You go down, you stay down 15 seconds. Oh, my leg hurts. You know, we got to cool off. We're a man down. Matt Freeze did it for a couple of times.
They
as well.
Needed to. This They're down to 10 men. They
the
needed
US
to.
Did not do before. This is Pochettino, man. This is an Argentine international who gave a little bit of that to his team. Christian did that in one of the plays where he sort of went down. There wasn't a ton of contact, but he knows. And actually on the broadcast, we said, he just bought the United States, who are a man down, 45 seconds of a breather here, which is something we didn't see in the past because, you know, we were just seeing the U.S. They've always been a very strong physical team, but you go down, you get back up. There's nothing wrong with this. And Pochettino has sort of given he's changed the way that the players understand the game a little bit more. But I totally agree with you. For Christian, after the team goes a man down, he did a phenomenal job doing what he does best. And he's the most talented American player with the ball in his boots by far. I mean, his technical ability, his quality is sensational. And the fact that he was able to, you know, go in between players, dribble around players, that's what makes him special.
Now, Ramsey's, first off, once again, Ramsey Sandoval, Emmy Award-winning play-by-play announcer. We see him on Telemundo. We see him on Apple TV and the MLS, is our guest here on Extra Time. You mentioned Poch. He's got to come back. Does he want to come back? Yeah, obviously, the United States wants to keep him. We put that out to the news before the round of 32. I think it's up to him if he wants it or not. And I'm with you for everything Poch has done. He has changed the culture. Listen to Sebastian Berhalter talk to the media, saying how Pochettino has brought in that American swagger back. And this is an Argentinian. Partner, do you think Pochettino wants to come back as the United States gaffer? Because we all heard the waffle about how he could possibly go to Serie A before Ruben Amorim went to AC Milan. He was rumored there. Do you think Pochettino wants to stay here with the United States?
It's tough. It's tough because that question could have a trillion answers in the sense that everybody wants to report something, you know, and there's only a couple of guys that, you know, I'll read and I'll say, you know, it's coming from this guy. I'll read that. What I am going to say is this. So at the beginning of the tournament, I said, you know, if the U.S. and I thought of the same thing about Mexico, both U.S. and Mexico have impressed the heck out of me, for lack of a better word, in the way that they've been able to play in advance and just watching them play. You can say, wow, these teams can make a deep run, both of them. I wasn't very sure that Vasco's team or Poch's team headed in. And come on, let's look at there's that stat. The last European team the United States had beaten before Bosnia last night was Bosnia, like 4 years ago?
Yep.
That's incredible, of having trouble beating UEFA teams, right? UEFA national teams. So, but today, right now that me and you are speaking, I think it has a lot to do with what Poch is doing. If the U.S. get past Belgium and they make a quarterfinal, and maybe more, I think that for sure goes into his decision-making, just as if I think it would have gone into his decision-making if the U.S. gets knocked out yesterday, or if they advance a second and get a tougher tie in yesterday's round, or if they get eliminated in the group stage, which would have been catastrophic. I think in that sense, maybe you say, you know what, I'm going to pass it on. I think this tournament has sort of brought the fan base as well closer to Pochettino, because I got to tell you, before the tournament, a lot of fans, they weren't happy. They were like, you know, why is this guy planning his next, why is he planning his departure before we play our first World Cup game?
Yep.
And it's fair. It's fine. You know, you want your coach to be with you 100%, but watching these players play, the way the United States has sort of changed the culture, they turned the light switch on. It's almost like Pochettino, you know, he's, let's turn the light switch on, World Cup going. And again, I'm comparing both national teams because I'm noticing the same thing with both.
Of course.
And they're out of CONCACAF, right? Mexico and the U.S., they've both done the same thing. I think it's really going to depend. I already think they've left a very good taste in the mouth of fans for the United States. I think they're going to beat Belgium, so I do think they get to a quarterfinal, to the last eight, which would be historic. And then it's all cards on the table.
Yep.
And so if he makes a quarterfinal, and man, if he makes a semifinal, my cards would be on the U.S. Soccer Federation, U.S. Soccer. I know them well. They're smart. Making him an offer, telling him, mm-hmm. you've got to stay. We're building something special. This team and this generation you're talking about, I think they got one more in him. Maybe two more in him, depending on how they take care of each other. So 2030, man. You know, you are in business. So for me, it has to do with the way this tournament has gone. Right now, I'm swinging to the fence of Pochettino staying as a U.S. national team head coach.
Ramsey's, we're on the same page. Once again, Ramsey Sandoval joining us here. He didn't like the Balogun red, thinks we have a good chance against the Belgians, and also thinks if we continue to play well, Pochettino will be the guy. But Ramsey Sandoval joining us on Extra Time. You bring up Beltre, Ramsey's, and I hope my notes aren't failing me, partner. I'm at your mercy if they are. You're Mexican-American?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you got to be buzzing about Beltre. I told my partner Damian Perez is Uruguayo. You know, our hearts are out to him. But I told him, I said, listen, Mexico, until further notice, is indestructible at that stadium and in that country. And you know, Ramsey's, listen, I'm a USMNT guy. I can't stand you guys. We're rivals. It's, you know, it's a sports hate. But I haven't seen that. I'm 31 years old. I'm 31, Ramsey's. I've never seen Mexico play this good.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they are indestructible in that stadium and country until further notice. And I think England's fallen victim. Where are you at with it?
Well, listen, I'm going to clear something up real quick right now on Extra Time as well. I'm Mexican-American. I grew up in Southern California, both parents from Guadalajara, Mexico. But I grew up here. I grew up with the Landon Donovan team.
Yes.
I grew up with that 2-0 Japan and Korea team. So as hard as it is for both fan bases, and I get it from both. I mean, I've had salutes to my mom from the U.S. fans and salutes to my mom from the Mexican fans. And I've always said it's almost like an identity crisis. But I got to tell you, this is the honest truth. I'm buzzing for both national teams. I love both nations. I think it's tough for people to understand that, but it really is. I'm a Mexican-American kid who grew up when the U.S. sort of started balling. Clint Dempsey, DeMarcus Beasley, Bocanegra, Gooch, Landon Donovan, I mean, balling, right? And then they take Mexico's number, and you're sort of like, oh, damn, the U.S. is doing up Mexico now all of a sudden. And then, of course, you get the Mexican side, which is, it turns you during the World Cup. And it's really turned me and every Mexican fan more so. And it's making us fall in love with this team again. U.S. balling as well, same thing. I was saying it yesterday. Man, I wish the World Cup is over, and then again in Seattle, we'll have 70,000 crazy American fans, because what's been the issue throughout the years? Oh, well, the U.S. is going to play Mexico. No matter where they play, we're going to get 80% Mexican fan base. But for Mexico, throwing it back to them, what this team has done, the way they play, the way they, man, they came out and they ate up Ecuador. And the reality is, Mexican media looked at it the same way. Ecuador was the least... favorite opponent in the third group, if you will, that Mexico wanted to play. They had a great game. They had looked very good in the group stage. They had a great game, of course, against Germany to finish that. But the way Mexico is playing, they're playing out of their minds. They're balling. They're pulling out. The Azteca Stadium is really going to be special. And I got to be honest with you, if this game was in a different venue, in a neutral venue, even in the United States, where you can make the argument Mexico is at home more often than not, I wouldn't be as bullish on thinking that Mexico is going to win this match against England. Now, hearing the pundits as well in England, I don't know, it's fascinating. I've been hearing, you know, Rooney and Alan Shearer and Ferdinand and Neville And they all say the same thing. A player per player, there's no doubt. I agree. England is a better team player per player in all lines than Mexico. But the altitude, the trip down there, the serenade they're going to receive a night before by Mexican fans, which, of course, the Ecuador head coach had a lot of things to say about, they are going to matter. And again, there's something special in the air right now. Simple as that. There's something special in the air right now in Mexico City. It's a Sunday night game. It's going to break every record. Get ready to read that on social media as far as people watching both on Telemundo and the other networks that are carrying this tournament.
Yep.
Going to break any record. Every record. It's going to be Mexico at home. They are going to be at home, and this is their major opportunity. This is where Mexico needs to take the big next step. It'll be interesting to say. Quiñones is playing out of his mind. Mexico has not received a goal yet in a World Cup. It's crazy. Four World Cup games. They're unbeaten. Their goal is unbeaten. They're playing phenomenal, phenomenal soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. What do you say about Morita? The 17-year-old kid who shut down $80 million midfielder Caicedo out of Chelsea, dribbling around him. This kid is special. Yep. You got Jimenez playing with the whole situation with his dad. What a story that is. I mean, when he had that injury in the pandemic, who thought the guy was going to be back? He's 35. He's the starting center forward for Mexico. But again, I'll mention him again. Quiñones, man.
Yep.
Quiñones' story is just absolutely unreal. Unbelievable. I have a special place in my heart for him because he ended my team's 70-year drought. Atlas of Guadalajara went back to back with him before he left America. And then, of course, he went to win a scoring title. Oh, by the way, where Cristiano Ronaldo competes. 1951, Atlas of Guadalajara last championship goes back to back. He's the best player by a mile in that team. And his story is unbelievable. Just he arrives very young in Mexico. They didn't want him in Colombia. He was mistreated in Mexico initially at Tigres. You know, Tigres is always stacked, didn't have room there. They sent him to a second division team, exploded in Guadalajara with Atlas, goes to America, balls out, rejects a Colombian call, joins Mexico. And I'll tell you right now, he is the most important Mexican footballer right now in that national team.
And Ramsey's, it's similar to Flo Balogun. Because Balogun could have played for a multiple of nations, and Quiñones the same way. I could argue those two players have shaped their rosters more so than any team, or rather any player on both sides of those teams. But Ramsey's, Sandoval, our guest here on Extra Time. Now, Ramsey's, first off, great stuff on the Mexican stuff, on the El Tri stuff. I completely agree. I appreciate all the time. Before I let you go, I got to ask about Leo Messi. Obviously, we're home of the Inter Miami Herons. You can hear me on the call here on ESPN 106.3. It doesn't make sense to me what Messi is doing because I feel like an idiot, Ramsey. You want to know what I did before this tournament? Once again, my producers, Damian, and my co-host, I go, Dame, you know, Messi's probably still a top 12 player, right? I mean, he's probably still a top 15 player in the world. Ramsey's the best player in the tournament. And shame on me for not realizing that. I'm on all the games. We watch him more than anybody. And here's me before the tournament doubting that if he's going to be able to put in a shift and a real performance. He's leading the Golden Boot race right now. Argentina and their path, it looks like that they're going to get to the semifinal. You know, I don't want to jinx them because a lot of teams have fallen victim, like Germany, to opponents who they expected to beat. But just your take on Lionel Messi and what he's doing at 39 years old right now, leading the Golden Boot race and having that Argentinian team fundamentally still revolve around him and those midfielders, man, that are working in Enzo and McAllister, Rodrigo De Paul, who we know well. Well, what's your take on the Messi mania right now at the World Cup?
Well, you shouldn't feel bad because I had arguments with colleagues and pundits. I won't mention them, but I'd get hot. I'd get hot because, you know, they were telling me, oh, Messi's not going to start. He's not a starter anymore. He's going to come in 65th, 70th minute. And I was telling them, I told them this literally. I said, Messi is going to play and he is going to play until whatever minute he'd like. And he is going to have a say in the 11 that Scaloni plays. And he's Messi. And the aura that this guy gives out, that now you see Kane coming out as the first player out of the locker room with England. Now you see Kylian coming out of the first play. This is something that we first saw with Messi. Those guys, those Argentinian soldiers are going to die in battle for their captain, for Leo Messi, who's been unbelievable. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, man, he's going to have 6-7 goals at the end of the first round. I thought the same thing you did. I thought he was going to contribute. I thought he was going to be fantastic. We've seen the role that he's taken at Inter Miami. He has been absolutely unbelievable. His finishing has been top tier. But you mentioned something that I'm in total agreement with, and you're one of the first colleagues that has noticed that, because a lot of people want to talk about Messi and, of course, about the ability this team has had to sort of been managed in a fantastic job by Scaloni. Mm-hmm. Their midfield is fantastic. Oh, and for me, McAllister is the big-time player. McAllister, I use a word which essentially is cobija. It's the covers. The covers of the bed around Leo Messi for him to work his magic. He can't do that without these type of players sort of getting his back. And McAllister, for me, has been unbelievable. Scaloni did a good job taking care of Paredes, had an injury with Boca Juniors, looked to be like he's back. He's going to be fantastic. People want to talk about Portugal's midfield, Brazil midfield, which they are great. So is France. The Argentine midfield is phenomenal. And those guys, I think, do a great job from a standpoint of covering Messi, playing Messi into spaces, and allow Leo Messi to take his breathers. I mean, last 5-6 years, he's become an expert at that. We've seen him do that at Inter Miami. Walks the field, knows exactly when and how to use his energy, stamina, which is very important in a World Cup game. He's been unbelievable. And the fact is that for me, this World Cup, it's a lot of nostalgia. I'm a little older than you, but for me, it's the last dance for these guys. Cristiano Ronaldo, Luka Modric, Leo Messi, Harry Kane to a certain extent, Raul Jimenez a little bit younger, obviously. So it's the new guard. And I'm not letting it go. I mean, to me, that retro soccer that I speak of is and will be phenomenal. The game has changed.
It has.
I was having conversations yesterday. I mean, it's become quick, fast-paced. Zidane's, Figo's, Ronaldinho's, they're gone. Unfortunately, they're gone. Juan Román Riquelme, they are gone. I hope they come back one day. But for the moment, they are gone. You got speedy players on the wings, and it's a new game.
Ramses, partner, I could do 2 hours with you, but I got to let you go, partner. Please come on again so we can continue to do this. Partner, we do enter Miami, but I'm also a massive Manchester United fan my whole life. Obviously, United States and Italy. We don't have time to talk about what happened with my Azzurri Blue, but just know I got my revenge last night with my beloved Team USA. But Ramses, thanks so much, partner. Looking forward to hearing you all over Telemundo for the rest of the way on the World Cup, partner. And please join us again soon, partner, okay?
I'll join you again. And before I let you go, I was with you on La Azzurra, man. I had Switzerland, Bosnia, and SoFi. Guess what game that was supposed to be?
Yeah.
From that amazing stadium. That was supposed to be Switzerland, Italy, man. So yeah. I'm with you on
it. And the Italian American community in Canada, don't even get me started.
Listen, the Bosnian community was fantastic. They were unbelievable. What a story that was. In that, they were home to Switzerland. But no, are you kidding me with the Tetra Campeones there? Yes. The Italians would have been incredible.
Yes. Ramses, my guy, brother. Appreciate the hell out of you. Thank you. That was Ramses Sandoval, Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man. Friend of show now. We look forward to hearing him again. Folks, got to take a timeout when we come back. Sasha Kleshin loaded on the guest side on ESPN 106.3.
Welcome back to Extra Time with Mike Rizzo. Brought to you by Yuengling, Tri-Rail, and Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Folks, we're going to have Sasha Kleshin joining us just momentarily. But it is time to get into our Tri-Rail moment of the day.
The world is coming to South Florida for the biggest month in international soccer, and Tri-Rail is your ticket to the action. Let's go on Tri-Rail. Plan your ride at TriRailWorldCup.com.
Go to TriRailWorldCup.com, folks. And the moment of the day are the Spaniards. Spain winning 3-0 today without even a Lamine Yamal goal or an assist. Now, they dominated the game. It was never close. But the moment of the day so far today in the greatest tournament in sports has been Spain winning 3-0. We are patiently awaiting the start of Portugal coming up here in 15 minutes. You got Portugal and Croatia. But certainly, we are looking forward to all of the great action coming up tonight. Now, Sasha Kleshin will not be joining us. We'll catch up with Sasha coming up next week later on. Appreciate, once again, Ramses Sandoval. Damian, I finally found someone who could match my energy. Dude, Ramsey's a fun time, man.
Yeah, he knows
Ramsey's
ball.
A fun time, and he knows his ball. Holy cow, does Ramsey know his ball. Knew the whole story about Quinones.
Gilberto Mora.
Yep.
17-year-old.
And you told me Moore is linked to United, the midfielder
He's
from Mexico?
Linked everywhere. United, City, Barca, Madrid. They all want him.
Can I complain about United? What are we doing, dude? We've missed out on all of our shortlist targets. Mateus Fernandez, Spurs. Sandro Tonali,
wouldn't be too mad
Spurs.
About that. I wouldn't be too mad about the Mateus Fernandez.
Really? Tonali, Spurs, and then Anderson, we lost him to our rivals. Now, that was a lot of money. I don't know. Listen,
and that's the Casemiro replacement. That's the thing.
Well, I want Tchouaméni. Now, oof. I want Tchouaméni. I'm hearing $80 million.
Go for Valverde. I doubt they'll let him go.
Dude, that'll be $120. Dude, yeah. If Anderson, what did Anderson go for?
I think it was $120.
Dude, if he went for $120, what the hell is Valverde? Arguably the best player from Madrid last year, with all due respect to Kylian Mbappe, who was injured for a lot of the year. I don't know, Dave.
Tchouaméni is probably more realistic, especially with all that went down.
Right, 75, 80. Didn't he knock the daylights? And granted, we're all speculating.
No, but it's no speculation. It actually happened.
He knocked the daylights out of Valverde?
Valverde has a scar on his forehead that
was
noticeable.
What did he hit him with?
So it wasn't like he knocked him out. It wasn't a sucker punch or anything. They got into a little dust up. There was some shoving. Valverde fell and hit his head.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's always rough. That's always rough. Were you surprised about Spain today, Damian?
Not really. I thought they did what they had to do. I want to see Lamine Yamal be more decisive. I think he's really looking to really make a highlight out there and score a crazy goal. But I need him to be a little bit more decisive.
And that's coming from Damian Perez, a diehard Barcelona fan his entire life. You know he was the only leg of my parlay that didn't hit? I had, and I always pronounce his name wrong. I'm at everybody's mercy.
Oriasaba.
There you go. I had him to score. I had the goal line. All I needed, he could have a goal or an assist. I didn't even need him to score. He could have assisted.
Oriasaba, that's an underrated player on that team.
Dude, he's good.
He's been going before the World Cup. He's been scoring every game.
He had a great Euros.
Yeah.
Do you remember 2 years ago when they hoisted the trophy?
Probably one of the best players. Top three for sure. Yeah,
Real Sociedad player for La Liga.
Been there for his entire career. Yeah. That's a player that probably could have gone to a bigger team. And chose loyalty. I mean, good for him.
29-year-old veteran. A lot of people, including myself, before the tournament. Hey, who's going to be that striker for Spain? He's not a false nine.
Correct.
That's what he is. He's not an advanced forward number 10, but he's someone who likes to have the ball at his feet. And Damian, he's clinical in front of net. Yeah. I think he's proved that over the last couple of years.
Well,
with
on Sociedad,
Spanish team.
He plays more of a midfielder role. Mm. It's a very deep midfielder. So that's why it really works out with Spain, because they hold possession so well that he just fits in so well in that squad.
Spain plays the game the right way.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
It's very frustrating to play against Spain.
You're
going to be running around and see the ball pass inches away from your foot, and you just miss it. So it's very frustrating to play a team like that.
Pedri, Gavi didn't even start today,
Cucurella.
By the way.
I mean, Cucurella. He's going to but Madrid next season. That's a great sign.
But like Damian, Olmo, Bawana, Pedri, and then to anchor the defense, Rodri in the midfield. It's unbelievable.
Unreal.
That's a glitch.
And they got Raya, the goalkeeper, which was arguably probably the best goalkeeper.
Didn't even start today.
Can't even crack the lineup.
Unai Simón. Why isn't he playing?
Unai Simón's
great. But time out. Why isn't Raya playing?
Unai Simón just probably beat him out. Maybe they feel more comfortable.
Beat him out. Raya could have won the friggin' Ballon d'Or on that team this year.
That's a personal preference right there, because I'm sure either of them could have started. And then you got Joan Garcia, which is the goalie for Barcelona, which also had a great season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, spoil riches. Yeah. Jinx.
That's gonna be the saying of extra time by the end of this World Cup between Spain and France. But folks, once again, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, this is Extra Time on ESPN 106.3. God, did I enjoy Ramsey Sandoval. I need to get him on this show ASAP again. For those of you that didn't listen, we're going to post the full interview with Ramsey Sandoval on our YouTube at ESPN West Palm FC. That's at ESPN West Palm FC. Ramsey's is an Emmy Award-winning play-by-play announcer, bilingual, English, Spanish. We hear him on Telemundo during the World Cup, and we also see him on Apple TV and the MLS. Damian, we got Portugal coming up tonight, Portugal and Croatia. I stand by what I said earlier in the show. I think it's about time that the Portugal quality starts leaking into these games. I think Portugal is way too talented to continue to fumble opportunities in this World Cup. If I'm being honest too, folks, they should have lost against Colombia. They're lucky that Who is it that was offsides by a toenail? It was an unreal ball in. Was it Munoz? Was it Diaz?
It was Munoz.
It was Munoz. But regardless, folks, they were a toenail away from losing that fixture and being in some hot water for the knockout round. But they get the result. Damian, I'm going 2-1 Portugal. Croatia, folks, back in 2018, runner-up in Qatar 2022. They finished in third place. This is a tournament team. They have two wins in the group stage. I just don't think this is the Croatia team from the last couple of World Cups. I'm going to go with Portugal 2-1 in this one.
Yeah, logic, logic and everything tells me it's Portugal today, and I'm going to pick Portugal. But watch out for Croatia, man. These are the games they win, the games where nobody expects them to really put up a battle. Nobody expects them to really win the game, and Croatia somehow, some way, they'll grind it out, maybe get some penalties, but they'll find a way to qualify. But like I said, I'm going Portugal. And Rafael Leao, he'll get the start tonight. He'll get the start over Joao Felix. So I think that's a plus for Portugal.
Yeah, right move. Felix has been shocking. I'm not a Joao Felix guy. He's played everywhere.
Well, they brought him over because he plays with Ronaldo in Arabia. So they have that, I guess, connection from club soccer. But I agree. I think it's Rafael Leao. I think he's the better player.
And Damon hasn't worked. I think we could all sit here and say that. But folks, let's do our injury report presented by Little Rider Smith, Ivy, and Frommrath for over 40 years. Little Rider Smith, Ivy, and Frommrath have been serving injured people and their families here in South Florida. Go to foryourrights.com. Folks, go to foryourrights.com if you've been injured, need some representation. They are the guys we trust on extra time. They have main offices in Palm Beach Gardens. No injury, Damian, but the red card, man. No Flo Balogun coming up on the matchup against Belgium in the round of 16 for our beloved United States national team. There was an injury scare with Tyler Adams. Yeah. And I texted you. It's always Adams, dude. And it was such an unfortunate play because, like, I know the Bosnia defender, or rather Upman player, didn't necessarily mean it. But it's just one of those things where it's like, God, does it always have to be Tyler Adams who's on his back and injured? And he hates that. Adams hates that he's kind of known to be a, quote, injured-prone player.
Part of the way he plays, too.
He runs
a lot.
He takes it to heart that he is known as an injured-prone player. You heard Stu Holden say that on the Fox broadcast last night. By the way, Adams is being floated around with United, too. There's a chance that Adams might play for Manchester United next year.
And I think Antoine Robinson could also go somewhere after this tournament. I mean, as a left back.
Fulham legend. By the way, Fulham legend Antoine Robinson.
He's just absolutely great at left back. If you're a team that likes to project the left back, that likes to get the fullbacks forward.
Do you want
to
know who he would fit in perfectly with?
Barcelona.
It's the guy who runs the chemistry set at AC Milan.
Yeah.
Ruben Amorim.
Honestly.
Who's running the scientific method out there. I do not miss him, by the way, at United.
I'm not saying this because I'm a Liverpool fan, but just the style, he'd be very good on Liverpool as well. Have him be Robinson's replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. The knock with him, Damien, is that he doesn't have anything going forward. That has completely changed this World Cup. Has that not?
I mean, even on Fulham, if you really watch he projects so well.
I think people complain about the balls.
And he has the physical ability to get back. That's a big one.
He defends better.
He's got four lungs. He's got four lungs.
He does, and I could argue he defends better than anybody at that position in the world. Yeah. But, folks, Team USA obviously going to be without Flo Balogun. If you didn't listen earlier, I made a plea to our current president, President Donald
Quickly,
J. Trump.
Mike, who are you starting over Balogun?
Reyna.
Joe Reyna.
I don't trust Pepe.
Three in the back or four?
Now it's going to be, let's get one thing out of the way. It's going to be Pepe. Do we agree on that?
He's just the natural striker. He's the obvious
pick.
But
I would go Reyna and I would have Pochettino figure it out after that. You could have Pulisic and Reyna create.
Tillman right behind him.
Yeah.
I'd put Tillman right behind him. Have him play a 3-4-1-2. Tillman being that midfielder that just floats behind the forward.
You think there's any chance President Trump's listening?
Maybe, who knows?
President Trump, I need Balogun. We need Balogun, brother. We need Balogun on that field. I need you to call Infantino and get him a pardon. But obviously, trolling aside, no Flo Balogun. He will be unavailable
in
the
United
States.
No appeal.
No,
either.
You can't. You're not allowed
to. It's not
going to happen. And I mean, bro, FIFA, I always get it wrong. It's either relegation or regulation. Excuse me. It says that you can't do it. So unless some, like, guys,
I've never seen it.
The only way this is going to happen is if we get a call in from the president. That's the only way. And I guess that was me, trying to get President Trump to maybe get Balogun on the pitch. But folks, this has been Extra Time. Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. You hear that music? That means it's time for us to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Ramsey Sandoval. Ramsey's, if you're a listening partner, had an absolute blast with you. Looking forward to getting you back on. But Ramsey Sandoval, folks, the Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man for Telemundo and Apple TV, joined us earlier. We broke all the action down. United States, Mexico, Balogun, knockout round, Messi, all of it. We broke it down. You can go back and listen on our YouTube page. We're posting that after the show at ESPN West Palm FC. Dame, I got Portugal 2-1. We will not talk to you coming up tomorrow. It is a company holiday here at ESPN West Palm. So everyone, enjoy the games. Enjoy the weekend. Damian and I will catch up with you guys coming up on Monday. This has been Extra Time Live at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Folks, have a great 4th of July. America 250. I love you, USA, and we'll see you Monday. Since 2006.